This is First Time Bitten, But Never Shy, a Star Wars original trilogy fanfic, written by Tanneril and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairings Luke Skywalker Han Solo, Leia Organa Han Solo, Leia Organa Luke Skywalker Han Solo, with additional tags for unresolved sexual tension, resolved sexual tension, angst with a happy ending, sad Luke, awesome Leia Organa, bamf Leia Organa, bisexual Han Solo, falling in love, sibling love, getting together, slow build, talking, canon compliant, grief, mourning, sibling incest. Summary. Han Solo had never been that good a guy. Then, a simple passenger trip to Alderaan went pear-shaped, and he found himself neck-deep in the rebellion. Now, he wasn't quite sure what to do about the princess who seemed determined to hate him, or the bounty hunters who have been crawling all over his trail, or the fact that he really, really hated weightlessness. But he'd found the best boyfriend. That had to count for something, right? The thing started when they rescued the princess. Well, okay, no. It started when the old man hired him to get himself and the kid and the droids to Alderaan. But the thing started when they rescued the most unprincess-like princess who was never going to give him the time of day, and they had to go to Yavin. Chewie was on the stick, and even in hyperspace, it was a 26-hour trip, so he went to go take a shower and get some sleep. The kid was in the fresher. Needing it was perfectly understandable. He'd seen his grandfather, uncle, someone anyway, killed by Lord Darth Vader, and had his breakdown until the princess had told him in no uncertain terms to go get cleaned up. Han just hadn't expected him to still be in the fresher an hour and a half later. You okay in there, kid? He didn't hear the shower running, which he hoped meant that the kid was just sitting on the john hyperventilating instead of passed out in a locked room. No, said the kid. Well, can you go be not okay somewhere else? Not in the fresher? The door to the fresher opened with a hiss. A very naked Luke Skywalker grabbed the front of his shirt and pulled him backwards into the fresher. There really wasn't room for a single person inside, much less two, so it was immediately friendly. Kid, Luke, said Luke, and I really want to not think right now. He punctuated this with a full-body shimmy, as if there'd been any doubt about how he planned to accomplish that. Luke surged against him, captured his lips in a kiss. Whatever else was wrong with the kid, he did know how to kiss, so it was with real reluctance that Han pulled back. Are you sure? That got him a smile, which existed mostly in Luke's eyes. Please, just for a little while. I don't want to remember. I can do that, said Han, and leant down. And really, that was great. Luke was hungry in a way that horse just weren't, and even if it wasn't hungry for him specifically, he seemed fine with the fact that it was him. He went two rounds and then went out like a light, and stayed asleep for 20 hours straight. Han himself slept 14, then switched out hot bunk with Chewie. The princess must have slept too at some point, but there were only two real bunks aboard, and they'd both been in use, so he wasn't sure where. Then they arrived at Yavin. Hours, it turned out, ahead of the Death Star. That was long enough to get paid and get out, so he did. Okay, he said an hour out. What? You're just going to leave? Asked Chewbacca. Yeah? Why? I did not think you were the type to walk out on your lover, even a new one. He quaffed. He wasn't even drinking. He choked on his own spit and quaffed. Chewie, it was just fucking. It did not smell like just fucking, said Chewie. Which was when he realized he was going to have to go back. Damn it! They blew up the actual honest-to-gods Death Star. They were welcomed back as heroes, complete with a great meal that someone had cooked with real ingredients and a nice shower, during which Luke pinned him to the wall and very emphatically answered the unasked question of whether it was a one-time thing. The award ceremony was a nice touch. Then they got the hells off Yavin 4 because while it might have been a big capital ship, it wasn't the only capital ship. They set up a space hab around the red giant Syncret. Intellectually, Han knew habs were perfectly safe, especially when set up outside of gravitational concentration points. In his bones, he never felt safe when a thin balloon was the only thing keeping him from the airless void. Luke picked up on it and suggested he stay in the Falcon, which he didn't do because setting up a hab took a lot of hands, and he knew how to do it. Luke's absolute and visible glee at floating around the hab did not help. The way he was back in Han's bunk that night did. So that was the thing. No one mentioned it, just like Chewie didn't say anything, but quietly switched himself over to a different diurnal shift. It wasn't even the fucking. Or at least, wasn't mostly the fucking. It was the way that... Well, very near the beginning, only a few days in really, Luke woke him up in the middle of their sleep cycle. He was crying, shaking almost silently, and at first Han thought he was in actual physical pain. Kid, what's wrong? Luke opened his mouth to say something and managed to sob. He did the only thing he knew how to do, which was pull him in and hold him. Probably hours later, Luke whispered, "Sorry." "It's fine," he said, because that was what you said, and continued holding the younger man until he dropped off into a restless slumber. He woke to find that Luke had made pancakes. Luke was not good at cooking, so they were lumpy and misshapen, and some of them were burned on one side, but pancakes! What brought this on? Last night, said Luke. I guess it finally hit me. Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru and Ben Kenobi and Big Starkladder and... His voice broke. Oh, said Han, and stood up and reached out and pulled him in. He hadn't gotten the whole story, Kenobi's request to not ask questions, but it was starting to sound like Luke had lost his entire life over the course of a few hours. Fucking imps. Luke cried a bit more, and what was worse, kept trying to apologize about it. He refused to listen, and bullied Luke into the fresher for a shower, during which they did not fuck, despite Luke trying to distract him. Then he marched him down to the princess. She was grieving too, but at least seemed to know what to do when you lost your family and your home and your entire world in one day. Luke didn't come back that night. He tried not to feel jealous, and then gave it up as a lost cause and went to find someone with alcohol. They were holding a wake. Somber-faced men and women telling the stories of the people who died in the assault on the Death Star, in other rebellion battles, just because the imps felt like picking on someone. Crip and Alderaan, which had the princess bawling her eyes out over her parents she'd clearly loved and was never going to see again. He drank to the dead, too, but only once. None of the dead were his. Luke showed up with early dinner the next day and said, "Thanks," and after dinner proceeded to demonstrate exactly how thankful he was. It didn't stop the nightmares, and there were other times he managed to wake Han up crying, but he didn't try to apologize again. It was that Han had never wanted to hold someone else while they cried before. The rebels, it turned out, were his kind of people. Tough, but fair, and they valued freedom above all. When he said he needed out for a while, they backed off. He began picking up work from them, smuggling mostly since that was what he knew how to do. The difference was that, instead of spice and brandy, he was now moving illegal firearms and people who'd caught too much Imperial attention. Chewie didn't say anything, but in his silent way, vastly approved of the whole thing. The rebels all loved Luke immediately, of course. His insane courage and his impossible shot had brought them in. He proved himself with the way he radiated quiet pleasure from spending hours in the guts of pretty much any piece of machine they brought him and told him to fix. He was able to do it, too, most of the time. Luke ate and trained and slept with Rogue Squadron. Unless the Falcon was in dock. Han was pretty much useless for the first full day after any given debrief. He found he didn't mind. Then, after 8 months of nothing, the generals came to a decision. Practically overnight, they packed up the Hab and moved to Dunkayo. Dunkayo was, quite frankly, a pit, and he hated it there from day one. Luke's enthusiasm for the constant humidity and daily rain was nice, but not even his smile could make up for the way his clothes stuck to him 4 minutes after putting them on. "Okay, so explain it to me," said Leia, sitting down across from him in the mess. Her hair was, as usual, perfect, and there wasn't a line out of place even on her clothes. "Explain what, sweetheart?" He was honestly confused. She didn't like him, and he tried not to get in her way. What about him she didn't know could fit in a blaster power cell? "What he sees in you," she said. "It can't just be my stunning good looks and roguish charm. Please." He frowned. "I can't think of anything else. If you want to know, you should just ask." "There are some things about your relationship that I just do not need to know," she replied dryly, which made him wonder what exactly the Rogue Squadron rumor said about him. Or what Luke had said about him to start the rumors. "Well, I'm sure I don't know," he said, which was the absolute truth. She pursed her lips. "I'll find out eventually, you know."
"I wish you luck in that."
Really, he did. If she knew, she'd probably tell him, and then he could keep doing it forever. She sighed in frustration and then got up to leave. But it didn't end there, because of course it didn't. Leia was not one to be put off by either complete hatred of the person in question or actual lack of knowledge on anyone's part. And, well, Han had proven that he could get people past blockades more than once, So it wasn't entirely illogical that he be there ferrying their diplomatic princess into and out of potentially allied systems. Just mostly illogical. He thanked all the gods he knew that the Falcon had originally been built for a 12-man crew, and therefore had space for 8 bunks in 2 rooms. He'd used the other bunk as cargo space, but it held actual beds now, for when he was ferrying people and not guns. The princess took the other room, and left the space he shared with Chewie alone. He'd thought it was going to be awkward. Else, it was awkward the first few times out, when he was torn between the desire to give her space and the fact that he wasn't going to let her drive him out of his own damn spaceship, thanks. So mostly, he stayed on the sticker in the galley. He'd have liked it if the princess stayed in the other room, but she didn't. She went and sat in the common lounge with about 80 data pads. He could feel her watching. At least she didn't say anything. This lasted until the Shalkanwan mission, which was a complete and utter clusterfuck from beginning to end. He came out of it knowing that all those shiny weapons quals the princess had on record were not just for show, and also that she had some kind of good luck field, because every single shot fired at them the whole time missed. He wasn't quite sure what she came out of it with, aside from one hell of a shiner, but it was something, because somewhere in the middle there she'd apparently decided to stop with the creepy staring and just get on with the actual goddamn mission. As soon as she did, they clicked together, almost audibly, and then finished the job and got the hell out without needing to say more than 6 words total. Command didn't want to send them out again together after that, regardless of the princess protesting that he wasn't the one who'd punched her. Still, it wasn't like they had a lot of ships, much less ones specifically outfitted as smugglers. They got sent out to Toyota, and it was fucking golden. So was every mission after that. "I'm glad you worked it out," said Luke, tucked in against his shoulder, after a very vigorous hello. It was honestly getting a little ridiculous. "I'm not the one who was following her around very pointedly with a blaster." Luke sniggered. "What?" "You thought she didn't like you." He sniggered again. "She doesn't like me." No, you've seen her when she doesn't like someone." Which was true. He had. Princess Leia had 2 kinds of enemies. Dead ones, and ones that she hadn't properly dealt with yet. Then what the hell was that? With the blasters and the staring? "Wow," said Luke. "Han Solo, you are a piece of work." He wouldn't explain anything either, which was massively frustrating. Even if his chosen method of not talking about it was to distract Han with skin. But once he started paying attention, he figured it out. Not exactly quickly, because... well, honestly, because it was 4 months of watching Leia follow the shinies around before she pulled her blaster and shot one of them, in cold blood, in the back. The fact that said shiny turned out to be Imperial Intelligence did nothing to lessen the blow. He was able to pack it away, mostly because they were all packing up and shipping off a Dunkayo while the rogues played tag with the elusive. He ended up with a Falcon full of techs, and also the princess, doing a whole series of short hyperspace jumps while picking off TIE fighters. They lost the Imperials at the 3rd jink, but kept going through the entire system before heading off for the meetup in the AOFile system. The techs got busy setting up the hab, while he went and got a cup of caff.
You okay?
Asked Leia. Fine, he said. Because, no, he wasn't. Luke was still out there.
Go get some sleep. I'll wake you when the rogues arrive.
In fact, she didn't have to. It was another 20-something hours before the rogues lit in, and it was only 11 of them. His heart was in his throat before he got a good look. Rogue 12 was missing. It was bad, but not as bad as it could have been. All of base support got out, and they'd only lost 4 fighters overall.
Good job, people, said Leia in the big common balloon. Drills paid off. We're going to keep up with this level of evac readiness going forward. We need to find out who vetted Lek into the Resistance and how the little shit got past Psyche, but for now, we're going to take the week off. Takodana is 2 parsecs and change from here. Have fun. Dismissed.
It was a nice week, even if he didn't manage to make it out to Takodana. He was more prepared this time for the fact that they lived in the Hab for months while Command figured out where to put them. He and Leia went on more runs, during which he mostly stood there and looked professional while she did all the talking. More often than not, they came back with more credits, or promises of blasters, or more assignments of who to get out of Imperial space, which he and Chewie then managed on a second run. They set up on Hoth. Hoth was worse than Denkaio, which he wouldn't have thought possible until landing on a planet so cold that his spit went clink. But as much as Denkaio had been a pit, it had been a warm pit. The actual base was built of actual ice on Hoth. Also, Luke developed a habit of crawling into bed and jamming the icicles he called toes straight into his calves. Chewie sniggered about it for weeks. Still, frozen ice wasteland aside, it was good. Purposeful. He had Luke, although he had less than zero idea about how that had happened. And somehow, he also seemed to have Leia watching his back some of the time. It was better than he'd felt about anything since before he'd left Corellia. So, of course, that was when it had to go to shit. They didn't realize there were bounty hunters after him for months, which said something about the state of his life. It was just a series of missions that went from pretty good to amazingly bad in 2 seconds. Not even due to imps, just random assholes coming after him. He'd have died at least once without Chewie. But it wasn't until Tollens that one of the random assholes was a bounty hunter he recognized. And then it started to make sense. "Since when is there a bounty on my head?" he shouted, while Leia put down cover fire so he could retreat back to the ship.
"Since you owe Jabba the Hutt a whole cargo of spice with 2 years' interest," shouted Kang. Then he took a blaster round to the throat, because Leia.
"Nice shot," he said, once they were underway.
"Thanks," she said, stripping the blaster. "We really have to do something about this. Who is Jabba the Hutt, and why does he have a bounty on you?"
"Hutt Syndic branch leader out of Tatooine," he said. "I might owe him some money."
"Oh, well, money.
Sweetheart, those were crippling shots. I don't think he's going to be satisfied with just money anymore."
"Good point. So I'll put an extra watch on you. Enough bounty hunters don't come back. They're going to stop coming."
"I hope you're right." She wasn't right. They did well enough for a few months. Just knowing to keep an eye out for suspicious Criffin hunters was enough to give him the edge. Then they lost Locker at Ord Mantell protecting him, at which point he decided that enough was enough. As soon as he did, General Rican promptly decided that the whole base was on lockdown. It wasn't even anything he did.
They were just confirmed reports of unmanned Imperial probes popping out of hyperspace. And the way to keep a hidden rebel base hidden was not to have ships constantly landing and departing a remote ice ball. But it rankled. He hadn't wanted to leave, sure, but he'd made his choice, and now he could not go through with it. He said some things he probably shouldn't have said. Well, with being already taken and also having a death sentence hanging over his head. And then he learned that Luke was missing with the Hoth night coming on. The next several hours were kind of a blur, but they ended up with him and Luke, who was not dead but was delirious, in one of the extreme weather bivvies. He looked at the sleeping face and tried to remember that he was going to die. "I am the absolute worst," he said. Said Luke. "Why? How are you even conscious, kid?" "Warm. Not worse. I propositioned Princess Leia." "Finally," said Luke, and then actually did pass out.
"What the hell?"
he said flatly. Luke ended up spending nearly a week in Bacta. He kept signing for Han to go do things like sleep and eat and fly. The last one probably meant, "Seriously, Han, go repair the Falcon." And since the medics all said Luke was out of danger, he did. But he did check in at regular 8-hour intervals. Luke was asleep more often than not, and was weak even after he got out of the tank. "So," said Luke, the first time he was awake at the same time he was there. "You? Princess Leia?" "Nothing happened." "Nothing's ever going to happen if you don't stop dancing around, either." "I honestly," Han said, "honestly can't tell if you are just that nice, or if this is your way of telling me you're up for a threesome." Luke choked, and then sputtered for a minute, and then finally managed to get his voice back. "Threesome? I like you, she likes you. You like me, she hopefully likes me. I like her, you..." "I'm really not into her like that," said Luke, still sounding strangled. "But you don't mind me running around with her," he said slowly. "I cannot believe I'm having to say this," said Luke. "Yes, I mind. But I know that it's not normal to stay with a guy when you've met the right girl. You'll be good for each other. Already are, and I kind of knew it was coming. Okay?" He was staring. He knew. Because what the fucking gods was wrong with Tatooine? "No, not okay at all. I'm not leaving you. I was asking if you minded also dating Leia." "What?" He scrubbed his face with a hand. "At some point, kid, we're going to have a long talk about everything that is wrong with the dust ball I found you on. On Corellia, some people have more than one husband or wife. Or one of each. Not everyone does, but it's not rare either." "Oh." But a slow smile was spreading across Luke's bruised face. "No, I don't mind. I love it."
"Thank you, gods!"
"You get to convince her, though," added Luke. "No problem." It was absolutely a problem when he had to get Leia out of an Echo base that was actively under Imperial bombardment without a functional hyperdrive. It was a problem when they nearly got eaten by a giant space worm. It was a problem when they had to hide out on an Imperial cruiser control tower with minimal power for 3 days, and then they all ended up under a cocoon of all the blankets on the ship just to stay warm. "Okay," said Leia, We're stuck here for at least a little while longer. I refuse to be that woman, Han Solo. And after 3 years, I really didn't think you were that man. So, talk. I'm Corellian, he said. She was Alderaanian. Core worlds. Surely she'd know. She bit her lip. So the rumors are true then? Wild orgies everywhere? That's really not how it works, said Chewie. I'd like it if someone explained how it does work then, she snapped. Some people have more than one spouse, he said simply. And that's okay? Well, not if everyone refuses to sit down and talk about it, he said. And it's more complicated, even if it's just a tri-marriage. But I'd like to try anyway. Oh, I... Luke? Seemed pretty thrilled with the idea. Oh. He could almost see her thinking, but couldn't figure out what until she said, Huh, I think you're pretty greedy, Mr. Han Solo. What? Taking the Rebellion's best pilot and its best diplomat all for yourself? Sweetheart, and I do want to sit down and really talk to Luke about this, she cut in. Then she ducked to hug him tightly. All right? It took a moment to get his vocal cords to work again. Yeah. Now kiss, said Chewbacca, which completely ruined the moment until, laughing, Leia did. Waking up out of carbonite freeze was actually worse than going into it, because Leia was there. He wasn't sure why he didn't expect her to be. He trusted Lando to keep her safe, sure, but even he couldn't keep her safe from going out and punching trouble in the face. He just had to trust that she wasn't idiot enough to walk into the Hutt's palace without backup. She wasn't. It still looked like it was all going to end in tears, or at least in the digestive system of a sarlacc, right up until it didn't. Then it looked like Luke Skywalker had found or scavenged or stolen a new lightsaber, and also learned how to use it. I built it, he said, when asked. They were sitting in the courtyard of an abandoned moisture farm outside of the boony town called Anchorhead. It was apparently Kenobi's old place. You built it? Yeah, I wasn't lying about being a Jedi now. Well, that's just great, said Leia. What's wrong? Aren't Jedi supposed to be all not having families? Not this one, said Luke, smiling faintly. I'm really glad you're okay. Me too, said Leia. Where did you learn to build a lightsaber? All the Jedi are dead. I took my father's apart enough times, he said. They're not really complicated to make. Except for the crystal, and those don't just grow on trees. Nah, they grow in caves. You're not actually going to tell us what happened, are you, kid? Han asked. Nope, said Luke, now smiling outright. It was somewhat more shiny than the average smile, a blatant invitation. He took it and leaned in for a kiss. It went on for a while, before Leia made a noise, small and maybe a bit animal, and he pulled back to check if she was all right. Yeah, said Luke, and pushed at him. Go on, your girlfriend wants a kiss. Oh, said Leia. Right before he kissed her. That one also went on for a while. He tilted his head to see if Luke wanted to keep switching off, and pretended that he wasn't disappointed when the answer was no. He was somewhat less disappointed when Luke said, I think this'll work. That's it? Asked Leia. Just like that? You like me? I like you. We both like Han. And no one is sneaking around behind anyone's back. Seems like a good place to start. Unless you want something else? No, she protested, and then blushed. Except I might want to, watch.
Now it was Luke's turn to blush, but he said,
if Han doesn't object.
Object? To getting both of you hot and naked at the same time? You must be joking.
Luke's eyes went very, very dark. Leia went the kind of still she only went when the alternative was vibrating out of her own skin. She said, I really wish we had time right now, but... The fleet assembly, said Luke, and sighed. And I have to go, too.
Go? Asked Leia. Where? To do what?
Jedi stuff, said Luke. I'll meet up with you as soon as I can, all right?
Will you actually stop if I say it isn't? Replied Leia dryly. Whatever it was, it didn't take more than a few days. Luke was back with them in time to sign up for a suicide run to Endor. It went about as well as their missions usually did these days, including very nearly being eaten, before Luke went off with Leia. He was happy about it. If his two gorgeous lovers were planning something for him, far be it for him to step in on them. He stayed happy for about an hour, and then got worried. Leia was very nearly crying, and she wouldn't tell him what was wrong, and Luke was gone.
Did he break up with us? He asked, holding her tight.
That at least got a laugh.
No, he's just got to go be a Jedi.
It took a minute for him to realize what she meant.
No, Leia, he can't.
What are you talking about? It's Luke. Of course he will.
You'd better be right, he said.
Come on, we should go to bed.
Hun, we've got an assault on an Imperial base tomorrow.
Right, so we need a sleep.
Oh.
We do have an assault on an Imperial base tomorrow.
Leia smiled as she looked up at him.
Come on, goof.
There was a moment of heart-stopping terror when the Death Star blew, before Leia told him that he was right and Luke wasn't aboard, with such absolute certainty that he suddenly felt adrift. He'd been with Luke for 3 years and didn't have that kind of connection. And wasn't it a bit selfish to demand both of them for himself when they were obviously so perfect for each other? Then Leia told him Luke was her brother, and he completely blanked. When he came back to himself, Leia was kissing him. With tongue. Luke didn't make Planetfall for another 40 minutes, by which time Leia had explained all of what she knew. It wasn't nearly enough, and he was going to strangle Luke for not telling him any of this at any point prior to going off to fight actual Darth Vader alone. This resolve lasted until Luke showed up, and all he could do was hug his lover, and then his other lover, and then both of them together. The party went late enough that it was early, and Luke kept staring off into the shadows at odd times, which... not the night. He was starting to suspect the universe was conspiring to make it never the right night. But after spending a couple of days sleeping, Luke seemed calm enough piloting the Y-Wing up to the main Alliance cruisers, so he felt secure saying,
So, Darth Vader was your father?
Also Anakin Skywalker, said Luke.
He choked. But at least it wasn't just him this time. Leia was also sputtering.
She got her voice back first.
Anakin Skywalker! Jedi Knight Anakin Skywalker? Hero of the Clone Wars Anakin Skywalker? Darth Vader?
Yeah, I know, said Luke. He did all those amazing things, saved so many people, and then just... turned his back on it? Decided to terrorize the galaxy for the next 20 years? It didn't make sense. I had to try to get him back.
Did it work?
He killed Palpatine in the end, said Luke softly. Not me. I just happened to be there.
Oh.
I will tell you later. I just don't want to think about it right now. You think we raid a private room?
I think Generals Organa and Solo between them raid at least a couple, said Han.
Excellent, said Luke.
They raided a tiny suite. It would have been more at any other time, but all of the cruisers were packed to the gills with as many ships as they could carry. The fresher was really minuscule. If it were just him and Luke, he'd have squeezed it anyway and called it nostalgic. The addition of Leia meant that it was physically not going to happen, so they took separate and very fast showers. When he got out, it was to find that Luke and Leia had reorganized the mattresses and sheets and things to make one big bed on the floor. Also, they were both naked. Leia raised an eyebrow at him.
The end.
Why can't I breathe whenever I think about you? Why can't I speak whenever I talk about you?
Reader's notes. I haven't done a lot of stuff from Han's POV before, so this was a fun exercise in character voices. I really liked how, yes, this is sort of a side story running parallel to all three movies, but also this is the Empire determined to cockblock Han Solo, which made me full of joy. Thank you for listening. I hope everybody enjoyed it, and OT3 happiness with no terrible endings for anybody. Just imagine Luke using his nascent force abilities on both of his boyfriend and girlfriend. Soul bonds! Force telepathy! On finally having that sit-down conversation about how Tatooine is a death planet who is wrong about a lot of things! Luke and Leia and Han having happiness and not being cockblocked now that they have destroyed the Empire. Literally. That's the reason why they destroyed the Empire. Because it kept getting in the way of the sex. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this and have a nice day.